appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate the preaching. I've enjoyed it. And I hope y'all have as good a preaching tomorrow as you've had so far up until now. I don't guarantee you what I'm going to do. I don't have no format. I just do what the Lord has us to do. But I got a question for you. I've sat here and I've listened to some preaching, some mighty good preaching. You won't get it anywhere else. There ain't nowhere else in this town you'll find this type of preaching. You won't find this type of truth in a church building. Now, you'll find a form of truth, but you won't find the gospel of salvation that'll save your soul from hell. It's not a clear gospel. Or you'll hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, and God will save you if you'll come to the aisle and repent. God has already made the provision before the foundation of the world. God Almighty promised eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to His Word, and that was given to anybody that will believe and trust the gospel of Christ. What do you believe? Have any of you been taking any notes this weekend? I'm sure you have. What are you going to do with those notes? Are you going to take a 1611 King James Bible? There ain't no other Bible. Don't come with me with no New King James. Y'all know what I tell you what to do. Before we do Acts chapter 17, turn to Proverbs chapter 25. And I'm not going to do but one verse, because in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, my Bible says that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He not said, and will He not do it? Now, if God said that His Word is true for everlasting, I got to believe God. I'm not going to believe the witness of men. I believe the witness of God is greater. You understand? And I got His witness here in the King James Bible. These words are spiritual words. Now, I want to read you verse 23. Proverbs 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doeth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Do y'all believe the north wind drives away rain? Is that what the King James says? Do you know what the New King James says? Now, I got one at the house just for, and I scratched off holy on it. It's got holes in it, all right, but it ain't holy like Lord God holy. I scratched all that off. And I wrote on the inside, for comparison only, in case it falls in the wrong hands. I'm going to read you what the New King James says. If anybody's got one in here, would you tell these people this is what it says, and I ain't making this up. The north wind brings forth rain. Now, you know, I didn't go to college, and I ain't got near one of them talking telephones like Barry's got. I don't have no computer. If I had one, I don't know what I'd do with it. It wouldn't even make a good anchor for my boat to go fishing with, so I don't need it. But I do know that there's a difference between driving away and bringing forth. It don't take a college degree to figure out something's wrong. Now, with all of this in mind, go to Acts chapter 17. Now I got a question for you when I get through reading a little bit here. In Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas, and go to verse, well, let's see here where I want to start at. Go to verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. I'm a Berean. I was born in Mobile, Alabama. Do y'all know where Berea is? You Kentucky people, do y'all know where Berea is at? Do you? It's in Kentucky. I have been to Berea in Kentucky. I got on a private Lear jet in Mobile, Alabama with Brungard Equipment Company, which was a Heister dealer. The Heister factory is in Berea, Kentucky. We got on this jet. There was 10 of us. We flew up there. It didn't take just a little bit. And we was there. We lit in a cornfield. I ain't lying to you. That we got off of that airplane. There ain't no tower. I think somebody said there was a, what you call them fellows that operates these airplanes on the sky? Controller? I think some, they didn't have none of that. We got out of that jet plane, and there's a couple of vans there waiting to pick us up, take us to the factory. There's a little old strapping young'un come a-running out there, and that pilot and co-pilot looked at him and said, "Fill this jet up. We'll be back out the bar." I looked over there. There's three tanks. I expect there's three different kinds of fuels over there. We don't know what they put in that thing. Do you believe them pilot and co-pilot didn't have to trust that little old boy to make sure he put the right fuel? They didn't stay behind. They went with us. And when we got back there, I'm saying, "Lord, I hope that boy knows what ethyl and regular and super ethyl is, that we don't get the wrong fuel. Because I plan on going home." And by the way, before I forget about it, I want to tell all of y'all goodbye. Because after the last preacher, whenever that is, I'm going back to Mobile. And somebody asked me if I was going, I do this every year. I'm going back as soon as the last preacher gets through, and I'm not going to have time to tell you bye, but I want to tell all of you goodbye. Lord willing, I won't see you next year. We'll be up yonder. Amen. But anyway, pray. Somebody asked me how long is it going to take me to get home. I said, "Well, it's according to how many cops is on the road." And I would covet your prayers that the cops is all home in bed sleeping. And it won't take me so long to get home, because I do speed. And I don't know who that was. Was it Barry Hampton that asked anybody if they lied? I held up both hands. Because I do lie, and I do break the speed limit. I'm saved by grace, not by the law. All right, Acts chapter 7, verse 11. Paul and Silas is in the synagogue with the Jews there. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, we're talking about those in Berea. And I appreciate these people from Kentucky and the rest of you, too. This message that's been preached here this weekend ain't just for them Mennonites. It ain't just for them crawdad folks that come up here with that preacher right there. It's for the rest of us. You don't have to be a Mormon to get saved. You know, I all kidding aside, I have to thank the Lord that I never was in a religious system, because I am a hard-headed person. I can look around. I'm the hard-headedest person that's here. And had I have been in a religious system, I'd have fought you tooth and nail if you'd have talked about my religion. But you know what I'll do now? I'll fight you tooth and nail with this King James Bible word for word. If you'll do what it says, I can prove to you that your religious system can't save you. If you'll do what this verse is fixing to tell you in just a minute, what these people did in Thessalonica. Now watch what he says. Verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. When have you ever sat down and searched the Scriptures when you left a church service to see what the preacher said, if God Almighty said that? Now, I can show you what they say. But who is he saying it to? That's the issue. Is he saying it to you? Or is he saying it to Israel? Is he saying it to those in the future? After we're gone? And you know, there's the song has been sung here several times today. I'll fly away. And y'all know that's in your Bible two times? In Psalms 55 and Psalms 90? And in Psalms 90, the Bible says, if our days are 70, y'all know what 70 is? It's 70. And if by chance, are you listening to me? 70 years old. And if by chance they be 80 years, yet are they soon gone and we fly away. I'm looking at a bunch of folks that's in the flyaway zone. That man's in the flyaway zone. But wait a minute. I don't know about you, but I don't care nothing about flying in no airplane. But when the Lord comes, I don't need no airplane. You know who's coming for me? The Lord Himself. He ain't going to send no angel. And I'm going to ask the question here, and if you're here, please stand up. I saw the archangel coming up here yesterday. I'm not lying to you. On highway, Interstate 65, just south of Birmingham, Alabama. If you're here, would you please stand up? You know where this archangel was? On the back of a Chevrolet. There's the tag, Archangel. And I tried to catch him. I couldn't catch him. I wanted to meet him. No, there ain't no angels coming after us. Now, the Lord's going to send some angels after some people, but He ain't sending no angel after me. I don't know about you, but I'm going out in a rapture, and I'm going out by the Lord. The Lord Himself is coming for me. You know why? I know what I believe. Now watch what he says here. In verse 11, those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Amen. Beloved, they heard the word. They saw the Word, they experienced the Word, but after they searched the Scriptures, they believed something. Do you ever do that? Do you ever take the time to search the Scriptures to see whether we preachers are telling you the truth, or you just take it for granted, oh, them's good guys there, I'm just as sorry as you are. Probably sorry. And I ain't going to tell you I'm no bad Marine, because I just heard a bad Marine. But I am a Marine. I got saved in the Marines in North Carolina, laying in my bunk. I joined the Marines during the Korean War. 1953. And don't you know, before we got out of basic, them rascals signed a peace treaty over there, and we wanted to go over there and fight so bad. We thought we could whoop a circle saw. But you know, there's a lot of things that's happened in my life that I could tell you about, and I'm not going to waste your time me telling you about them. But I know from hindsight, y'all know hindsight's better than foresight. I know from hindsight that God was working in every bit of it. In every bit of it. For years, I spent time away from church, but I never spent time away from the Lord. He was always in my thoughts. I was always conversing with Him. If that's a good word, I don't even... What's that mean, talking to Him? I was never out of touch with the Lord, but I was not doing what the Lord wanted me to do. I sat in these Bible conferences. I used to go to every one of them when I had the opportunity. I don't have that opportunity now. And I thank God for these men that put on these conferences to where people can see, hey, you're not by yourself. There are fellow grace believers out there, and there are people out yonder. Barry Hampton proved that by all these Midianites he drug in here. Now, I don't know if Barry drugged them or dragged them. But anyhow, however they got here, they're here. And don't you know God Almighty already knew this day before you did? If God didn't know me before the foundation of the world, how could He promise me eternal life in Christ who was before the foundation of the world? And He didn't promise that to me after I got good, because I ain't got good yet. I'm still working on some of my problems. But I'm not working on them to get saved. I'm working on them because I am saved. You see, once you get saved, then you start building rewards or you start building losses. You understand? Your eternal life is in Christ. It ain't in what you do. It's in what you believe. Now, what do you believe about the Scripture? These people search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now, let's do that just for a few minutes. And I remember a preacher friend of mine, he's not here, but a preacher friend of mine told me one time, said, when you're called on to preach, get up, speak up, shut up, and sit down. And that's what I intend to do. We're going to do that. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 18. Take Acts chapter 16. Now listen, I ain't too brilliant, but I know things that are different ain't the same. And we ain't just going to pick the rug up and sweep them under the rug and say, well, Lord, I just don't understand that. And maybe when I get to heaven, I'll ask you about it and you can explain it to me. No, that ain't the way you do it. You search the Scriptures to see whether these things are so or not. Now, in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Did the man lack something that he had to do yet? Look what he told him. Sell that thou hast. I left out a word there, didn't I? You see, some of your new translations leaves all out of there. You know why? They can't handle it. I believe somebody in their testimony up here, Jan was telling you he thought he needed to sell everything. Now listen to me, I know firsthand, I had a friend of mine that I worked with for 30 years. His son got mixed up in a religious system in Mobile, Alabama that taught them that they were to sell out everything they have and come over here and join us over here, and God Almighty is going to feed you and take care of you. You know what happened to the boy? He liked to starve to death. He had to go back home to daddy. God Almighty ain't talking to you. If you'll study and compare, and do not do it right now, but you taking notes, you write down Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, those apostles that He told to do that, they did that in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 4. And y'all heard the man preach about Ananias and Sapphira that kept back part of that. And what did they do? They died. Y'all heard that. I don't have to go through that. He told this man here, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Y'all believe that? God didn't lie, did He? God ain't a man that He can lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said, and will He not do it? Did Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, did He tell this man to sell all that you got? They believed it so strong in Acts 2 and Acts 4, they did that. Now, on the other side of the thing, like the preacher told us last night, there's divisions. And if you go past the divisions, you're going to get in trouble. Go to Acts 16. Paul and Silas in jail. They've prayed. There's been an earthquake. They're singing songs and praising God. The earthquake shook the chains off the prisoners. All the doors is open. The guard come in there, was going to kill himself. He thought all of them was gone. Well, finally, there's a question brought up here. Verse 29. Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Good question. The man wants to be saved. You want to be saved? What do you got to do? What can you do to save your soul? I'm looking at some of us. Well, I ain't looking at myself. You can't see that way, but we can't even add no hair to our head. How are you going to save your vile body? How you going to change it? This mortal must put on immortality. Do you have the power to do that? Look what Paul said. Verse 31. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, keep the commandments, and repent of thy sins, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Is that what he said? Listen to me, I ain't going to call this man's name. Some of y'all in here know this character. I thought I knew him. Ex-grace preacher. I heard him on radio last Sunday morning out of a station in lower Mississippi preaching about Jesus Christ dying at Calvary, died for our sins, was raised again the third day. He preached that. You know what he told them people, whoever was listening on that radio station beside me? Now, if you want to be saved, you've got to repent of your sins. And I'm... Now, wait a minute. You just said He died for me. Paid for my sins. What sins have I got to repent of? I believe repentance is for a saved person. I believe after you're saved, after you realize what Jesus Christ, God Himself, went through to save people such as me. You see, it's for me He died. Did He die for you? Listen, there's been enough gospel here preached this weekend to save the world. But you know what's the matter with the world? They won't trust that. They like Ananias and Sapphira. Well, you know, I believe Jesus Christ died at Calvary. I believe He was resurrected. But you know, I might ought to just go ahead and get me an insurance policy here. I'll just go ahead and get water baptized and repent of my sins. And boy, I'm safe. I've got it, man. I got it both ways. No, that ain't the way it works. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom? After that you what? I didn't hear you. After you repented? After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. You were sealed until you backslide. Beloved, I ain't never slid forward yet. How am I going to backslide? I didn't get saved because I quit backsliding. I got saved because I met the conditions of salvation. I want you to take two passages. I want you to take Romans 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Romans 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do y'all know what day this is? Saturday, ain't it? Is this Saturday? Till when? When does Saturday end? I heard the Seventh-day Adventists say that this is the Sabbath day, and they're probably righter than we are about that. As far as our calendar goes, we don't know when the seventh day was, when God rested on the seventh day and gave Israel the Sabbath day for a sign. You do know it's a sign for Israel according to the Bible. What day is this? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of what? Salvation. Is there anybody in here that can't be saved? I don't want you to put your hand up. 9 out 10 times, I suspect there's probably somebody in here, you struggling with your salvation. You're looking in your mind and saying, you know, back when I was a teenager, and I did this, back when I was a teenager in a so-called grace church, I walked the aisle for Jesus. They told me this fella named Jesus, they beat him, nailed holes in him to a cross, and he died a horrible death. They beat him, they spit on him, they plowed furs in his back with a cat of nine tails. Well, that shook me up. Back in them days, they'd preach hell, fire, and brimstone, and I was scared to death I didn't want to go to hell. I walked the aisle for Jesus. Joined the church. Got water baptized. The character we had for a preacher there thought we needed to be baptized. I didn't see no problem with that. I done walked the aisle. Asked the Lord to save me. I didn't pray no sinner's prayer. I don't know nothing about all that. Never was taught that I had to pray anything to be saved. I've always been in Paul's epistles, but not rightly divided in Paul's epistles. And brother, when you see and search the Scriptures and see Paul's epistles rightly divided, if it won't change your life, I don't know what to do for you. I'm like Paul said, if I put myself on fire, would it help you? Would it help you if I set myself on fire? I bet you I'm talking to somebody in here right now. With the crowd we got here, there's somebody in here you ain't saved. And you know what's the sorrowness about that? You know you ain't saved. I can't look at you and tell who you are. But you know what? God Almighty knows the very thought in your mind right now. He knows the thoughts in your mind. He knows what's in your heart. You know why? With the heart, not the head, with the heart, you believe. Go to Romans 10. I appreciate Barry going to these people. Maybe there's one of them Mennonites here that ain't saved. Maybe there's one of you crawdad folks that ain't saved. Maybe there's one of you other folks in here, you ain't saved. And you know what you're doing? You're stopping me from having my vow body changed. You might be the last person that God Almighty foreknew before the foundation of the world. The body will be filled up, then there ain't no more need for us to stay here. God can take us out of here, and He can go back dealing with Israel in the tribulation. And we ain't going in the tribulation, I don't care what they say. You ain't going in the first 3.5 years. Any of y'all watch Jack Van Ampe? That man can probably quote this Bible. Of course, I heard Khrushchev could too. He's got us in the first 4 chapters of Revelation. Impossible. Do you know what the man... Now, I know some other folks are doing this too. Some of them are supposed to be grace people. So be careful. That's why Paul stresses... Study. Search the Scriptures. What I tell you, if you write it down, you search it and make sure that's what God Almighty said. Because I'm a man like you, and I do make mistakes. I remember one Sunday in class. Got a friend of mine, he comes to class every Sunday. But most every Sunday, he's there. He lives up by Citronelle in Gulf Crest. I don't know if any of y'all know Jimmy Kittrell, and I know some of my people that are here, I say my people, apologize for that. Some of the people that's in our class, they're not mine. They belong to the Lord. They know him. Mr. Kittrell has got a sense of humor about himself. And me and him discuss things a whole lot. And we talk about these things. And he was in that class Sunday morning, and I taught something. And I don't even remember where I was at right now. I'm trying to get it to my mind, but I done got old, and my mind, part of it flew away already. And the other half, it just sleeps. It don't work. But Tuesday night, Brother Moore taught that same class in the same place in Mobile, Alabama. Well, I'm sitting on the back row back there. Jimmy Kittrell, he's sitting over here three people down from me. And I ain't said pea turkey to Brother Moore about what I teach. Well, Brother Moore taught the same thing. Well, I did it wrong. I said something wrong about that. Well, knowing my buddy, I worked with him for 31 years. I knowed him. I called him out. I didn't turn my head. I'm looking straight ahead at Brother Moore. I'm looking out the corner of my eye, and he's over there. Like that. I done got caught. But you know what I did? I went home and I studied that. And I said, "You dummy. You dummy. That's exactly what it says." And I tried to make it say something else. Don't do that. Don't say something else so you can understand it. Say what it says and then try to figure out, what's he saying here? Well, he says what he said. Let me show you what he said. Romans 10, verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, hold forth." Who is that wants to know where it says, "If thou shalt confess thy sins"? Would you hold your hand up? Where you at? Who's that want to know? Somebody, that was Jan Wilburn, wasn't it? Where's he at? All right, Jan, there's where it is. Well, ain't that what it says? Come on, Jan. Look at it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Somebody show me where sin is at in there. What does it say to confess? The Lord Jesus. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Watch what he says. Verse 10. "For with the heart man" what? "Believeth." What do you believe out of what you've heard here this weekend? Do you believe what the preacher said, or do you believe what God said? I got to put my faith and confidence in this book. In 1 John chapter 5, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And I got the witness of God right here that he told me that if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in mine heart that he had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say I'd be saved over here some other day. This is the day of salvation. You too can be saved today, and you too can know it, and you too can be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, and you can't get out of it. So if you don't want to get in it, don't trust Christ as your personal Savior and just die and go on to hell. If you can't get saved out of what's been preached here this weekend, I hope you can't sleep a narrow wink tonight. But I want to leave you with a few things. I ain't going to get no sleep tonight. I'm used to that. It don't bother me. I'm hyper anyway. When you lay your head down on your pillow, wherever it is tonight, I want you to think about something. Right before you've gone and don't even know where the world's at, into sleep, if you don't wake up in the morning, where are you going to be? If you don't get up out of that bed in the morning, where are you going to spend eternity? Eternal salvation is in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. When did you ever accept that Jesus Christ died for you? When did you ever trust that? When did you ever put your confidence in that? That if you don't wake up in the morning, you know where you're going to spend eternity. And if you're sitting here and you ain't saved, I'd like to tell you something, but I can't. They're recording this. Get it right. We need to go home. And I ain't talking about the mobile. You can have a mobile. I want to go home. You see, not the times of the Gentiles in Romans 11, but the fullness. Romans 11:25. When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then God can deal with His people Israel again in their time of trouble and the tribulation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I appreciate your time, and I do ask you to pray for me on the way home that the cops will get out the way and leave me alone.